This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.
Hello and welcome to Great FM, everybody. I'm your host, Ahalya. And you know, one of my favorite things about this series is that we get to explore the diversity of HR, both in terms of function, but now also in terms of location. As we inch closer and closer towards the end of 2025 and look forward to 2026, we're exploring a new area. And one little headline that's been making all kinds of splashes is HR's activity in the lovely country of Indonesia. So that's where we're going to be focusing our energy and our episode today. You know, Indonesia's workforce is at a pivotal inflection point. The twin mega trends of both digitalization and the green economy are not just shaping the future of work, they're being actively driven by smart investments in human capital. And what's been true for HR in so many economies is true for Indonesia as well. HR is becoming a strategic engine for sustainable growth. So in today's episode, we're going to explore all the movement happening around green jobs and development, the long-term potential HR is and should be tapping into, and the high demand for green and digital skills. But most importantly, what HR has got to do with all of it. We're unpacking all of this with the help of Sumia, CHRO at Hana Bank Indonesia, who has been transforming HR by integrating technology, tackling burnout, and fostering a culture of continuous improvement. So just the person we need to be talking to understand and get our foot in the door when it comes to the Indonesian scene. Hi, Sumia. Thank you so much for being here today. Pleasure to have you.
Hello, Alia. Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor to be here with you and with our audience this afternoon in Jakarta.
Perfect. You know, we love going a little international. It's holiday season. Everyone's traveling. So we're doing a little bit of virtual travel through the podcast as well. So Sumia, let's start the show with some facts, right? Indonesia's National Medium-Term Development Plan, abbreviated to RPJMN for 2025 to 2029, explicitly prioritizes digital transformation and strengthening the workforce. When HR looks at a statement like this, I'm sure they're smiling year to year because there seem to be some big opportunities, right? So could you take us through those opportunities and what the Indonesian HR functions have been acting on by and large?
So let's start with the big picture. So Indonesia National Medium-Term Development Plan 2025-2029 is clearly put digital transformation and workforce strengthening at the top of the national agenda. So what we immediately see is opportunity. This tells us that future growth, both at national and organizational level, will be driven by people who are digitally capable, agile, and have a continuously learning. So our role naturally shifts from managing talent to building talent for the future. So nowadays, at the national level, we have a organization, we call it Gerakan Nasional Indonesia Kompeten, GNIK. So it's a powerful movement led by HR professionals, bringing together industry, government, and educational institutions. So the goal is very practical. We like to accelerate large-scale upskilling and reskilling, so Indonesia can stay competitive globally. So through initiatives like GNIK, HR is deeply involved in shaping leadership for the future. Leaders with a digital mindset who are comfortable using data, collaborating across boundaries, and also fostering a culture of innovation. So all of this support is a bigger ambition for the future Indonesia Kompeten 2030, and ultimately Indonesia Emas, so Golden Indonesia 2045. This is for the national perspective. So if I bring this closer to our own experience as Hana Bank, our digital transformation journey is start back on 2020 when we launched our digital bank called Line Bank. But we also aware that technology alone is never enough. That's why 2022, we focus heavily on change management, making sure that our people didn't just use digital tools, but truly understood, embraced, and also participate in the transformation. So from a people, product, and platform perspective, we have continuously strengthened our foundation. so our employees skill effort in line with where the business is going.
You know, that's so interesting. First of all, thank you for breaking down the various layers and nuances, right, to what we are dealing with currently. And another interesting fact is that the Indonesian Development Planning Agency, I have to say there's a lot of big plans in place, is pushing for upskilling and reskilling, right? And this is through vocational education, which will allow for society to align labor supply with its digital economy needs. Now, clearly, this is HR's playground, right? Surely this is where the HR function walks in and thrives. So what are the major shifts that HR has been driving in this particular area?
Yeah, sure, Alia. So this is also our hot topic in Indonesia. So to better align labor supply with emerging demand, we have made some very deliberate shifts. We have introduced our new job family, clear competency standard, and have more career path, especially for the digital world. At the same time, we also building certain number talent pipeline through apprenticeship and also early career vocational track. Of course, we also don't do this alone. Yeah. We actively collaborate with the university, vocational industry, and also bootcamp, and also edutech platform. So what people learn is truly relevant to the industry need and aligned with national workforce priorities. So at the heart of this is a strong belief in the skill-based talent development, that they recognize that great talent doesn't always come from the traditional four-year degree. Many of our people bring critical capability through like vocational education, professional certification, and also hands-on experience. So they are very agile, tech-savvy, and play a key role in driving our digital transformation. So let me give some example in our organization. So for our frontliner, actually we don't recruit purely based on the academic credential. Many we hire because of the industry experience and deep understanding of customer. So when they join, we invest heavily in continuous upskilling so they can have gradually transition into digital or hybrid role. And also for the technology talent, especially in IT, we work closely with the local technology education partner and Bootcamp Indonesia. So this program offers intensive training in areas like full stack, JavaScript, data science, and also IT fundamental. So across the organization, actually, we offer equal opportunity to grow. Progressing is based on skill, performance, and impact, not on formal credential. So once people are inside in our organization, so everyone has the same chance to develop and move forward. So it's really about contribution and potential. So this why what we are doing, the shifting, especially to align with the labor supply, with the digital economy related with vocational.
Amazing. You know, I think such valid points that you've brought up there about confidence kind of beating credentials, potential beating technical skills, because at the end of the day, if you tap into potential and give it the right environment, it will be optimized, right? So let's also have a think about the digital economy focus that's been quite apparent in recent times. You know, obviously, this needs a robust digital infrastructure as well, right? And there have been sort of rumblings about Indonesia's rapid digital adoption. So how has HR been impacted by this push for digital? And also, is HR really driving digital adoption as a priority?
Yes, yes, of course. So from a people perspective, our focus has been on driving change in very intentional way. So we using both top-down and bottom-up approach. We started by taking a hard look at where the organization really was. We clarifying our business strategy, understanding our current capability, and mapping our talent landscape. This helped us to identify who was already ready for the future, who need further development, and which capability we don't have. So that's why we need to bring in from outside. And also, as the digital adoption is accelerated, one thing has become very clear. Digital skills are not longer just for IT. Like every role in now is touched by digital in some way. This is where SR play a key role. So we should making sure that, especially in the banking industry, the digital literacy, data awareness, even basic automation capability are embedded across the entire organization. So the goal is simple, to help our people adopt quickly and perform effectively in the digital first environment. And how from the infrastructure perspective, the rapid expansion of digital infrastructure and services has completely changed how we manage. People now expect seamless digital experience, faster and simpler process, more flexible, like maybe what we are doing today. So we have a podcast through Zoom. This is one of the examples. So all of this has fundamentally reshaped our role. So SR is no longer traditional support function working behind the scene. So today, we are a strategy enabler of the digital economy.
That's very cool. And I really appreciate all of the forward thinking that has gone into driving digital adoption and also the approach of, you know, how it impacts productivity and how people show up and can show up at their workplace, right? So to switch gears a little bit and shift the focus onto the green and sustainability aspect of this entire conversation, according to development planning research, a green economy transition in Indonesia could generate 1.8 million environmentally friendly jobs by 2030. I have to tell you, I was quite fascinated by the idea of jobs themselves being environmentally friendly. And, you know, policy documents also suggest that green labor, that is jobs with green competencies, is considered a strategic priority for the country. Again, a huge opportunity for HR. You know, it has to do with hiring and talent acquisition. So what's been happening in that respect and how has HR been seizing the moment there?
Yes, very interesting. We talk about this one. So this is actually a very real opportunity for us.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to shape the future workforce, but also to embed sustainability direct into business strategy and how we help our organization stay competitive in the long run. So what actually we have done? Yeah. So first, we start to integrate our basic thing is a green competency into our workforce planning. So sustainability now is no longer treated as a separate agenda. So our capabilities such as ESG literacy, environmental awareness, and also environmental risk management are now is already embedded in our job role, our competency framework, and even our performance expectation. So we also reshape our learning and development agenda. So we have introduced sustainability and green skill program that focus on reskilling and upskilling our people. So they have equipped to support the organization on the long-term sustainability, not just today requirement, but for the long-term. So finally that we align our talent attraction and employee branding with sustainable value, purpose-driven work, environment impact, and social responsibility have become a core part of our employee value proposition. So as Arya maybe also know that, especially for the millennial and Gen Z talent, they increasing to choose employer based on purpose, not just a pay. Yeah.
Right.
And green economy will always become the concern. It's very good actually.
Again, such a unique priority that I don't think many other countries are necessarily, you know, centering in their large scale long term plans. So really great that we could talk about that. And it seems like Indonesia is kind of right now a country with a lot of different opportunities for HR professionals, right? And we have listeners from all over the globe who tune into the podcast. So I do want to take a minute to get your thoughts on what some of the most unique opportunities are for HR professionals in Indonesia today, should someone be keen on pursuing, you know, a job there.
Yes. I'm proud to share that the unique thing that we have now. So we have the very strong demographic advantage by 2030. So we have expected to have more productive workforce.
Mm-hmm.
This is not actually opportunity, but it's also challenge for us. So it's a risk if we don't address some real very challenge like persistent productivity gap, digital skill mismatch, and the growing demand of the green transition. So the real opportunity is rely on how we respond. If we can accelerate both digital and green skill, we can transform them advantage into sustainable competitive advantage. So actually now is very critical for us. So in this moment, require collaboration, and also we need to work together across industry, government, and education. Like maybe I already said before, now we have a voluntary movement, we call it a GNIKAI. So this actually, we like to make sure that 2030, we really have a good productive workforce. To improve workforce quality, and also by accelerating skill development them. So at the same time, we also strengthen the team and our process to adopt AI. So we should treat AI not as our threat, but how AI become our trusted partner. So in how we work every day. So this is for the national view. And what actually we done in our internal HANA Bank. So I like to share that first we driving structure change management across generation. We have a multi-generational workforce, right? And maybe we also preparing everyone, regardless at the ground, to acquire new skin and collaboration more effectively. This helps boost productivity and ensure smoother adoption of the new way of working. Like me, I'm already 50-something and as part of an older generation actually. So I must choose to adopt because only by changing myself, I can lead my organization to change. This is the point for the example. And also, we also focus for building future ready talent. We shaping our employee to be digital savvy and also value-driven, inclusive, and comfortable with rapid change while staying deeply committed to sustainability. So change, yes, but we should commit for the sustainability is very important. And us as a SR, we need to be the true business enabler. And I like to call we are the conductor, orchestra conductor. So align people, process, and capability, and making sure that all organization resource is harmony to achieve our strategy objective. That for me, Arya.
You know, I think, again, like you mentioned, some very actionable strategies and some great opportunities for HR professionals to get involved, grow their own careers, and make change happen on the shop floor, which what else could you ask for, right, as part of your day-to-day? So also, you know, as an extension of the previous question, what are the key areas of focus that all HR professionals in Indonesia should have their eyes on, you know?
Yeah. So I think the key area in SR, most likely same with the global, yeah. For first, focus on the last skill, upskilling and reskilling, right? Especially like always talk digital and sustainability related skill. And second, digital SR and people analytics. So we need to fully embrace technology, automation, and data-driven insight. Even we come from the background IT or not, but we must adopt the new trend in the digital era. And third, is leadership development for a new era. Because we know, yeah, today leaders need very different capability.
Right.
Yes. And for ethical technology and also workforce governance. Now we know AI automation become more embedded in our workplace. So SR play a critical role to ensure technology is used responsibly, protecting data privacy, strengthening cybersecurity awareness, and also embedding ethical decision making into everyday practices. So this one actually very challenging in our, especially in banking industry related with cybersecurity, governance, and so on. And finally, change and transformation capability. So I think this is a thing that we are not focused on in Indonesia.
You know, the conversation so far has been all about the opportunities, right? And there are so many, and it looks like a great positive outlook. I'm sure so much change comes with some of its own challenges, right, Soumya? So are there any hurdles that HR professionals should sort of anticipate and brace themselves for?
Yes. First major challenge is a skill gap and uneven workforce readiness. Yeah. And second, also, again, our SR on capability in digital and analytics. And the third is a balancing bit with government and ethics. Because now that agile, yes, technology, yes, AI, and how we keep focus on the ethic and integrity data. Another is a hurdle, yeah, is a regulatory complexity and policy alignment. So policy is keep changing. So to manage everything is going well. And finally, there are resources constraint and investment prioritizing. So not every organization has the same level of the accesses or the budget, technology, and learning infrastructure. But Alia, maybe I can say that fortunately, yeah, for the banking industry in Indonesia, so as a highly regulated sector, we are required to allocate mandatory budget 3.5% from the total employee gross salary to the development. So in terms of budget, actually, we have enough budget to develop our people. This is actually our advantage in the banking industry in Indonesia.
Yeah, I think some, you know, important challenges there, and again, adds to the nuance of everything that we're seeing unfold in the Indonesian market. And as we reach the end of this wonderful episode and conversation, yeah, Soumya, I would like to get, you know, your crystal ball prediction on how you think 2026 is going to pan out for HR professionals in Indonesia. What's your sense there?
So looking ahead, yeah, we continue to face major challenges at the intersection of human, AI, productivity, sustainability. So but I think it's a one fundamental principle that must always get us. Being human-centered leaders. Skill and technical capability may make leaders relevant only today, but it's our human quality, empathy, integrity, and self-awareness that keep leaders always relevant in the future. So as technology become more powerful and AI more embedded in our work, SRO is not only to enable efficiency and innovation, but to ensure that our organization remains deeply human at their core. Because a truly beautiful world is not defined by how digitally advanced we are, but by whether people continue to humanize and be humanized through their work.
You know, that's a beautiful message, Soumya, to end the conversation with. Thank you so very much for your time. And like you said, you know, there's so much to be done, so much that is unfolding. And I'm sure 2026 is going to be another roller coaster of a year as we watch AI, automation, security really reveal itself. And of course, the people who control it and use it every day get better and better as well. So thank you so much for being with us. Wishing you a very happy new year in advance, and hope to catch up very soon on the Indonesian scene, maybe sometime in the future.
Yep. It's my pleasure, Alia. Thank you so much.
All right, everyone, stay tuned, because we've, of course, got the year-end special to completely close out 2025 coming your way soon.
Yeah.
So make sure you tune in for that. Catch you on the next one.
This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.